Chapter 5, Book of Romans. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I've read down to verse 8 in hospitals and garages and on the road, in doctor's office. I even read this passage of Scripture to my doctor. And I told him, I said, "Dr. Trimbeth, I got a message for you from heaven." And he said, "What's that?" I said, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." He looked at me and he said, "Aren't we all sinners?" I said, "You got it, buddy. You got it." And so I read him this scripture, and I don't know whether he tolerated me or he appreciated it, but he listened. Therefore, well, there's a therefore. Let's see what it's there for. Verse 25 of the previous chapter, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Can you put your name there? Amen. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen, 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 and pass the ammunition. Now, the next verse, excuse me just a minute. I looked at that clock and then I forgot what time it was. I'm going to mark this down. 11:40. I told you I didn't want to hear about this later on. And so, I've read those verses for years. Rejoiced in them. Preached in them. Shared them. Recently, you know, I read verse 9. "Much more than," get that? Now that's what I want to talk to you about. "Much more than," let's read verse 9. "Much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more than," much more, "being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Secondly. Thirdly, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement," or the reconciliation.
Yeah.
Three things there I want to talk to you about. And the scripture there says, I hope I don't disturb anybody, but this is pulling on my left side. I'm going to pull it, put it down in my britches, and I'll be walking lopsided. That feels a lot better. Is it all okay? I didn't hurt anybody. Okay. Now, look at verse 9. This is what I want to talk to you. Look, let's analyze these three words backwards, if you please. "Much more than." Then, the Lord's talking to us through the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a local church, and it's for our admonition, because we're a local church. We're just like the church at Rome. And he says, "Then." Well, something has happened to us before when we say "then." And a lot of times, you know, one time when I was a boy, my mother still washed in an old-fashioned washing machine. You had to carry water to it, and you had to heat it if you got hot water. And when I was a boy, I got up one morning, I said, "Mom, I don't want to go to school." I said, "I'm so tired of going to school. Can I stay home today?" She said, "Well, maybe you can stay home. You think you can help me today when you stay home?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll help you. I'll do whatever you want to do. Just let me stay. I don't want to go to school." She said, "Okay." Little did I know that that was wash day. That was wash day. And Brother Jerry went, and she said to me, "When you get done filling those tubs, carrying that water from the creek, then you go over there and draw some fresh water from the well and carry it in the house." Well, I knew that I had to carry that water from that wash water from down there, and it was a fur piece too. And I'd carry that in little buckets, and little buckets takes a lot of buckets to fill up those stuff. And I knew I had to do that before I drew a bucket of water from the well and carried in the house. There was a foregone conclusion there, if you please. That had to be done before this could be done. And that's what the Lord's telling us here. Then, something's happened. Now do this. Now notice this. More. After that foregone conclusion, after that has happened, there's more. There's more to do. There's more. Okay. I can handle that. There's more. And then we go back up again, which says, much more. You get what's going on here? Much more. That's a double adjective. It's a double superlative, if you please. And the Lord is telling us, after you've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, after He has suffered vicariously and took your place upon the cross, which you couldn't do, in all of eternity you couldn't satisfy God with the suffering in hell. Chucks, I can't even keep myself from a common cold. How am I going to suffer for my sins? And Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth shall die. I'm not even capable of dying for the sins that I'm guilty of. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willingly, Thomas, He willingly, He said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down, and I can take it up. And He says, I willingly lay myself down, and I die in your place, in my place, your daddy and your mama's place. Died in our place. And we're saved. We're saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took His blood, Himself, and went into heaven and sprinkled the mercy seat with His blood. Amen. And God was propitiated. Amen. And we were reconciled. We've received the atonement. Amen. Oh, happy day when Jesus took my sins away. Amen. It's shouting ground, folks, shouting ground. I guarantee you, if Brother Hancock takes a running fit, I'm going to go right after him. Yes, sir, buddy. Amen. I appreciate your spirit, brother. Happy day. Much more then. Aha! You mean there's more after that? Yeah, there sure is much more after that. You ever meet somebody, and they don't use these words, but they'll come to church and they'll say, go running home and say, honey, I found the fire escape. Fire escape. Yeah, I found it. We don't have to go to hell. We just get saved. And that's it. That's all. And we'll be saved and we won't even have to worry about hell. God's ultimate of wrath. We won't have to worry about that. And somehow or other, maybe they get saved, or maybe they just make a profession of faith. And they carry that pretense around the rest of their lives. But I'm here to tell you, folks, there's much more. Amen. There's much more. And the Bible tells it to us, just explains it so well here. He says, there's much more. Since you've been saved, there is not the wrath of God hanging over you anymore. God's been satisfied, it's been taken care of, and the wrath has been removed. It's no more important to you. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Don't have to worry about it. I have an introduction to read to you, but I think if I read that, I won't have much time. So, look in 1 Thessalonians, if you please. First Thessalonians. Now, if you don't want to turn there, now I'll confess with you, I don't turn. Every time I'm listening to preaching, I don't turn everywhere the preacher says to turn. Because by the time I get there, he's already reading and I can't catch up with him. I don't even listen as fast as most people talk. And so if you don't want to turn there, I'll try my best to read it straight. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's delivered us. Folks, I look these scriptures up and run these references. I'm not a Paul Parrott up here. I'm not here just repeating something I've heard. No, this is the Word of God. I tell my folks at church, I said, if you can't take the Bible and prove what I said, then I'll quit. I'll quit. I encourage them to take the Scriptures and find out if I'm right. If I'm right or if I'm wrong. And if you prove me wrong, I'll quit. I'll at least not preach that subject anymore. Turn a couple of pages over to chapter 5 of the same book. And look at verse 10. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. To obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a foregone conclusion. And that sounds like I'm minimizing the salvation of the Lord. And I don't, but I want you to get this point. We're saved. Guaranteed. We've received the earnest of our inheritance. And that's signed, sealed, and as if it were delivered. You know, God deals in eternity. It's already been delivered. We just have to go through this time process in order to appreciate it. And so that's taken care of. But much more then. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. Well, the Bible says it's to come. It must be going to come. And God makes His promises and God keeps His promises. His hand is not, His arm is not short that He cannot keep His promises. And He does just that. He promised Israel if they didn't keep His word, and if they didn't be His people as they promised to be, He would chasten them. He'd chasten them. And in the Old Testament, and the Scripture says it even poured His wrath out on some of them as a way of chastening. Now, and some of them were destroyed. You remember Korah? Come across that line. And God opened up the earth and swallowed them. Swallowed them up. Let me tell you something that I've learned. I don't know whether I learned this between my ears that come to me or where I got it out of a book, but you just, if you're not aware of this, you just take it as a gem of truth. Redemption is found in chastening. And the Lord dealing with us, and when we go through trials and tribulations, God's people are chastened. And so a lot of folks use this wrong all the time. And I've been guilty of it myself. And some people say that, and their child of the king, they'll say, well, the Lord punished me. No, He didn't punish you. God forbid. He did not punish you. He will not punish you. Punishment has no redeeming effect. Nothing. You know who God punishes? Those that will not believe. Those that will not believe. They're just going to spend an eternity in hell. The ultimate of God's wrath. But listen, dear people, when you find yourself in trials and tribulations, you remember it works patience. And patience causes you to trust in Jesus Christ. And when He is dealing with you, He's dealing with you in chastisement. That has redeeming effect. You ever spank your children? Sure you have. How come you did it? So they wouldn't do that again. So they'd learn better. So they'd honor mother, father, God, country. So they'd raise up good citizens honoring God, and you chasten them. Not one time, Brother Jerry, did I ever punish my children. Not one time. I always told my children when I gave them a spanking, I said, I want you to know I love you. And I'm doing this because I love you. Now, I can't say that every time I did that, that was, but that was my motive. And I let them know that. Recently, we were talking to some friends, and my oldest son, and I was telling that story, and he said, yeah, and there was a couple times I thought Dad's going to love me to death. So we love our children. We chasten them. We don't punish them. God's the same way. He don't punish His children. He spares them the wrath because they have been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Lot a righteous man? The Bible says so. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. I'd turn there and read it, but you're familiar with it, and I want to use time otherwise. And God came walking under the oaks, remember? And Abraham put his face in the dust of the earth. Oh, I like that scene. I run that through my mind all the time. Abraham knew the Lord when he come walking, he put his face in the dirt. And then the Lord explained to him, said how he's going to destroy Sodom. And go to Lot. And he went to see Lot. And you remember how Lot treated the Lord and his escort, the angels. And he said, come inside. It's not good for you to remain in the streets tonight, which was common at that particular time. They didn't have thrifty motels or Drury Inn at that time. And it was common for them to remain in the streets. He said, no, you can't remain in the street. Not in this place. Not in Sodom. You can't remain in the streets. You must come in. Lo and behold, here they came to the door. We saw them come in town. We saw their lustful eyes and their ears pricked up and their lips. We saw them come into your house. Send them out that we might know them. Lot said, no. He said, I got daughters that I've never known a man. Take them. Can you imagine? I've thought about that time and time again. Here, you take my daughter. We don't want your daughters. We want those men that came into your house. Stand back, Lot. Bang. All blind. I don't think they were children of the king. He just, wrath of God spread around. They're all blind. Lot was a righteous man, but he so was vexed at the conversation of the people of that town of Sodom. And God had to remove Lot before he could destroy Sodom. And he was going to rain down wrath upon Sodom. But he had to get his people out of there. That's another evidence, I think, other than the Scripture saying he was a righteous man. He had to remove Lot. Lot and his wife and his two daughters knew what happened to his wife. She disobeyed. She turned around and looked back and longed for the experiences she had had in Sodom. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. Our clock is in the back of the church, and I've often threatened them. If y'all don't quit looking at that clock, I'm going to put a sign up there. Remember Lot's wife. And kept looking back. I heard that some time ago. The fellow did that, and I copied him, and I said, I'm going to do that. If y'all don't behave yourselves, I'm going to do that. Revelation chapter 6, and verse 15, 16, and 17 declares the wrath of God coming upon these people in the time of tribulation. Folks, I hope I'm not out of my shoes by saying this, but I think I'm going to be gone when all this tribulation comes upon the Lord. My dad, the last few years of his life, he couldn't go to church, and he was on oxygen, and he'd sit in his chair. And across the room there, he had glass doors that slid open. And I'd come up and he'd just grin a little bit. And he'd say, come on in here, bub. Said, I got some questions for you. And I thought, oh, no. More questions. And he'd sit there and he'd read his Bible. And he'd try to figure things out. And he'd figure some things out. And he'd say, I got some questions for you, bub. And I'd go in and I'd sit down. What you got now this time, Dad? And he'd start asking me things about when the Lord comes back. I say, Dad, we're not going to be here. Don't worry about those things. We're not going to be. Son, I'm not worried. I just want to know. You ever get that desire down in your heart that you want to know?
You got to know to satisfy that soul. When I was a young man, I announced that I was going to go to Bible college. I got saved, and I couldn't get enough fast enough. I wanted to know about Jesus. And I couldn't wait from Sunday to Sunday.
Amen.
And I announced I was going to go to Bible college. And my mother, she was real pleased when I went off to liberal arts college. She was real pleased with that. And she said, well, what are you going to do with that when you go there and learn that and get that and finish that? What are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know, Mom. I don't have any idea. I hadn't surrendered to preach yet. That hadn't occurred to me yet. But I said, Mom, I just want to know more about Jesus. And I said, I think that's the best place to go. The best place to go. You know good evidence for being saved? It's when you want to be with God's people. When you want to be with God's people. Now, you mark that down. That's a fact of life. And you don't find God's people. They might be on the lake on Sunday morning. You heard about those two fishermen? Said, we really should have gone to church this morning. One of them said to the other, and says, oh, I couldn't have gone anyway. My wife's sick. It reminds me of the time our first son was born. Lonnie Perrigo and I were fishing on the lake, and I said, oh my, Lonnie, I forget that Sandy's ready to have our son, or have our child. And he said, we better go home. And I went running home. She'd been in labor for 3 or 4 hours and wondering where in the world I'd been. But it took her all day long to deliver that child, and so it didn't matter anyway. But some folks go to the lake on Sunday morning. They're looking for God's people on the lake. You ever heard somebody say, oh, I go out there and I commune with nature, and me and the Lord, we just draw closer together out there, just commune with nature and looking all around. That lying devil, he's out there trying to catch the biggest fish he ever caught in his life. And he don't care about God's nature. And he don't care. He's not thinking of God either. You can mark that down. God's people are found in church, folks. You can mark her down. God's people are found in church, and especially on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and revival meetings and conferences, Bible conferences. God's people are found there. Well, He saves us from the wrath to come. Now, let me push on. I don't think I have to convince you that God, we are saved through Jesus Christ from the wrath to come. You want the wrath to come? Read the book of Revelation. You want to know about wrath? Read the book of Ezekiel. You want to know about wrath? Read the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah. You want to know about wrath? God's people deserted Him and took up idolatry. And He put plagues on them and sieges on them. Assyria came out of the north and besieged Israel. And they were trading their children for food. And lo and behold, now you mark this down. You can look this up and find it in the Scripture. They would eat their own children. You think the wrath of God's not terrible? Oh, my. Read the 37th, 38th chapter of Ezekiel. And I was reading that recently, and I learned that Schofield thinks that it's symbolic of the bones coming together, and Ezekiel, son of man, prophesied of these bones, and they came together. Prophesy, son of man, and the sinew came up on the bones, but they didn't have the breath of life until God delivered that thing. And I used to read that, and I'd see a cemetery about this size, you know, just a plot of ground, and a bunch of bones laying there, bleached out by the sun, and Ezekiel would prophesy to them, and they'd come together. And I was privileged 10 years ago, Sandy. 10 years ago, we went to the Holy Land, Brother Wilson's last trip. We went to the Holy Land, and we stood on Mount Carmel and looked over the Valley of Jezreel. Miles, like you couldn't see the end of it. Miles wide, you could see that. General Patton said it was the most perfect battleground that he had ever seen. Oh, listen, the wrath of God is coming. And the blood shall flow as high as the
bridles on the horses. It's coming. It's coming. Judgment is coming. You can count on that. Well, secondly, he says here in this verse, he says in verse 10, he said, we shall be saved by his life. You know, it took me a while reading that to understand what that was talking about. That's talking about the Lord's resurrection. That's talking about the Lord. Now, much more than after being saved, we're going to be spared the wrath of God. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He's the first fruit. And we're going to come too. We're going to come too. Brother Hamill and I were talking, and we both agreed we'd rather go in the rapture instead of by the way of the grave. And he told me something about he thought about the way of the grave. He's a lot older than I am. And he's been thinking a lot, and he's a lot wiser than I am. And he told me something about dying that I never thought about before. And I appreciate that, and I'm going to think on it some more. And so, we shall be resurrected from the grave because Jesus is resurrected from the grave. Can you imagine? Listen, folks, can you imagine being saved from your sins and that's all? Being saved from your sins. And you've been spared the wrath of God. You've been spared hell, but that's it. You're just going to spend eternity in the grave. And that's it. No, 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 no! There's much more then. There's coming a day when the archangel's going to shout and the horn's going to sound and we're going to come from those graves. Whoa! Twinkle of an eye. I love to go up into the mountains of West Virginia. I live in the mountains, but there's higher spots than where we live. And I go up, and I took my boys up there one time. Sis was a little bit afraid. We went up to Seneca Rocks, in the big high, where the rocks just push right out of the earth. I think it happened during the flood. But the rocks just push right out of the earth, and you get up there, and you climb up on those rocks and climb up on those mountains. And if you're real careful and hold on to a bush, and you get right over here and you just look. Great valley down there. Beautiful scenery. And I got the boys over there, and I'd hold them back, and I'd say, boys, we're getting closer than this. And I'd say, look, boys, I said, this is what the angels see. This is what the angels look at all the time. And they're looking, and the mountains are rolling. Beautiful scenery. This is what the angels see. And when we go off to glory, we're going to look at the Lord. I wonder if we'll look back and see the scenery because we'll be so fixed on the magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be so fixed on His majesty. You know, the Bible tells us that He doesn't look any better than any other man that we should desire Him. But we're going to notice and we're going to fix on His majesty. So good. And because of the resurrection, we're going to resurrect and we're going to go off to glory. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be spared the wrath. We're going to look to the Lord. Well, let me... Oh, my. The joy. Thirdly, the joy. Think on that. The joy of being a child of God. Let me ask you something. Are you happy now? Right now, would you rather be somewhere else? I wouldn't. Amen. Not now. I wouldn't want to be somewhere else. In your present life, in your status of life, would you rather be some? One time I asked my former pastor, I right after I saved, and I asked him, I said, Jay, what does Paul mean when he said he's a prisoner of Christ? He said, you don't know that? I said, no, he's a prisoner. I don't. In my former life, I spent some time in jail. I don't tell many people that. I'm ashamed of that. And the worst thing about being in jail is to lose your freedom and you can't go and come as you please. That's the worst thing. And I told him, I said, what's Paul mean about being a prisoner in Christ? He said, Jim, he said, now that you're saved, would you go back? I said, well, of course not. You know what he did? He just laughed at me.
Poor old dumb me. I didn't realize that. I said, no. And then later on in my Christian life, I learned about the bond slave who's released in the time of Jubilee. And he comes back and he bores a hole in his ear and he nails himself to the door and he says, I don't want to go anywhere.
Amen.
Don't want to go anywhere else. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Right here, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Amen.
Let me tell you another short story. A couple years ago, I sold Sandy's house right out from under. And I told her, I said, I'm going to resign and retire because my health is getting worse. We sold the house and property and some other things. And we moved off from West Virginia to East Virginia. That's where we cut off 2 acres of my boy's farm and built the house there. And everything's contented. And I said, well, I'm going to retire. I'm going to resign. We made that trip from East Virginia to West Virginia for 2 years, 2 hours one way. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every special meeting, we drove that for 2 years. Couldn't find a place to quit. Announced it to the church, and one lady said this, and I hope I never... Used to be, I'd say, I'll never forget that. Anymore, I say, I hope I won't forget that. And that lady said, Jim, what about us? I said, oh.
Yeah. Amen.
Jerry, there ain't no quitting place. Yeah. You don't get too old. You might get unhealthy enough. You might get too sick to preach and to pastor, but you don't ever get too old.
Amen.
You know what we did? I said, Sandy, you happy? No, I'm not happy. No, I'm not happy. I said, well, what's going to make you happy? She said, I want to go home. Well, you know, she's just about 3 hours from where she's raised up in the St. Louis area. I said, oh, my word, you don't want to go to St. Louis? She said, no, I just want to go back to Craigsville. That's where I want to go. That's where the church is. That's where I want. I said, well, give it another year. We stayed there another year until the day. I said, Sandy, are you happy? No, I'm not happy. I said, start packing.
Amen.
Start packing. We pack and we move back. There ain't no quitting place.
Amen.
There's joy within my soul.
Amen.
And I just can't hardly get rid of it. I don't want to rid of it. There's joy there within my soul. Time won't allow me to go through all these things. I got so much stuff here. Now, I want to be honest with you. I preached this already. It took me 2 services to preach this back home. And I'm trying to crowd this in. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest joys... And I've been thinking about this. And one of the greatest joys in my life was when Sandy and I got married. Now, Sandy's not a perfect woman, and I tell her that all the time, so she keeps trying. When she puts the biscuits on the table, I try to find something wrong with them, dear. And I do. I try. So you keep trying, darling. Just keep baking. And she's got to the point where she makes biscuits exactly the way I like them. Exactly. Now, you might not like them the way I like them. You might not like our biscuits. But if you don't like our biscuits, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
She makes good biscuits. Good biscuits. Sometimes she'll ask me what I want for supper. I'll say, well... steak and gravy and biscuits. Now what am I going to get? Sometimes I get exactly what I want. And so, one time, we were standing in the church at Bible Baptist Church, and I went to Brother Wilson. I said, Brother Wilson, I think I'm in love. He said, I think you are too. And I said, I want to marry Sandy. Do you think you can arrange that? He said, I believe we can arrange that. Sandy was underage. She wasn't 21 yet. And in Tennessee, you have to be 21. And so her daddy objected to it. And he said, don't worry about that, Jim. Said, I can marry in Kentucky and in Tennessee both. Said, she only has to be 18 in Kentucky. We'll go marry you in Kentucky and come back here and perform the ceremony. Oh, okay, boy, shrewd man you are, Brother Wilson. So her daddy, when he found out we could do that, he decided, well, I'll give permission.
So we got married. And I'm standing there. And I swear to you, in all honesty, when Sandy come through that door and started walking down that aisle, and I've already had plenty of biscuits, and I'm not trying to get anything else out of her. She come walking down that aisle. I ain't never seen a prettier sight in all my life. She was beautiful. The only time she excelled that beauty is when she was carrying one of our four children. And I'd come in and work the night shift, and I'd come in and I'd put my ear up on her belly, and I'd hear that baby in there. And after a while, he'd get tired of me listening. He'd kick me. Oh, that's beautiful. Don't know a better thing, Jerry, in this life. Oh, how sweet it is to love a woman and to know the grandeur of being loved back.
Yeah.
I've loved as a groom. One of these days, I'm going to be part of the bride.
Amen.
I'm going to see it from both sides.
Yeah.
And the one that I'm going to be loving is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The groom.
Amen.
But until that time, I'm going to try to fulfill my joy in serving the Lord.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you, sir.
I'm glad that little short preacher started coming on here. But in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen, or even so. The Bible teaches us the church is the ground and pillar of the truth. That's the kind of church Jesus started. I realize that Baptists sometimes have their flaws. And among those that are called Baptists are heretics, people that have departed from the faith, and traitors to the truth. I realize that. But I believe faithful Baptist churches are more honest with the Scriptures than any group of people I've ever met or known. And we do our best to not take the Bible and adjust it to what we like. If you're here tonight and you're lost, we can't save you. But the head of our church is also our Savior. And if you'll repent and believe on Him as the Son of God that died for you, He'll save you. You want a place to deposit your life, make it count, and surrender and serve. The Lord's church is a place to do that. While we stand, have a song of invitation. However, God may be dealing with you now.
Are you quoted John 3:16? Are you shook the preacher's hand? Are you felt good? If all you've got is feelings and stuff like I've just said, you better check it over real good. Because if you have not repented of your sins, not because you got caught, but because you are a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. When you realize you are a sinner in the eyes of a holy God, and you realize and you feel, and I did, the wilt or the guilt of those sins, and I realized the only hope I had was what the hope was that Jesus Christ offered through His life and His death on the cross of Calvary. When I believed He died for me, I'm saved. Hadn't always acted that way. I backslid, and sure, but He brought me back. So I'm going to pause for just a moment. And I want you to go back and look at your profession. Look at the time. Are you saved? Have you truly been born again? And if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? Thank God for Calvary.
Amen.
Liturgy.